This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in, that's 603-283-6160. With them in the studio tonight is Aria, Mark, and Bonnie. And in other news, there was an intelligence leak, apparently, that has exposed U.S. spying on adversaries and allies. This is not the first time something like this has happened, but to my understanding, this was leaked on Discord, on I think it was a gaming Discord server. Very peculiar place for it. And that's what fascinates me so much about this story, is that in the age of the internet, leaked information is beginning to pop up in places you wouldn't expect it. Like, normally you would expect something like this, some leaked intelligence, yes, to pop up, or on The Guardian, or whatever website it was that first published Intercept. Edward Snowden's, yes, yeah. The Intercept, that first published Edward Snowden's leak. That's where these things used to go. But now, they're going to other places, like Telegram.
A comment on a YouTube channel.
Well, I don't know if they're that obscure.
I don't even understand how this happened. Like, got posted to, like, somebody, a whistleblower posted it to Discord?
We don't know, and that's why. Because, you know, they were able to anonymize themselves through this platform.
Maybe.
And then maybe they can go off to some other location the next time they do it, and
I don't know, and I guess it's worth talking about. On Saturday, as U.S. officials and their foreign allies scrambled to understand how dozens of classified intelligence documents had ended up on the internet, they were stunned and occasionally infuriated at the extraordinary range of detail the files exposed about how the United States spies on friends and foes alike. And this is not new, right? Obviously, the United States spies on everyone. China spies on everyone. Russia spies on everyone. The United Kingdom, they all spy on everyone.
I noticed you didn't mention Israel.
Israel, well, when I think of world powers, scared, Israel isn't the country.
Sure.
I
don't when think, you think of intelligence agencies, you should.
Only because of the United States.
I don't think Ari is like a shill that defends Israel every show. Yeah.
No, Israel obviously also is spying on everyone all the time. That's the nature of the beast, though. That's what governments do.
Well,
when you don't,
some
when
of
you
them,
are
but
evil,
there's other governments that you'd be surprised if they were successful at spying on anyone for anything.
There is not
Honduras,
a single government in the world that I would be surprised at about them being immoral.
I think if I walked into the halls of power in Tegucigalpa and said, I have information on the U.S. government, all you have to do is write me a check, they'd be like, the security guard would see me to the door.
Well, yeah.
Sounds crazy, to be fair.
But that doesn't mean they're not doing it, right?
I don't think they have a security apparatus.
I am confident.
They can afford it.
Well, I suspect that every government out there is spying, to some extent, on every other government out there.
They're certainly speculating on what other governments are doing. And
maybe they're spying on the smaller countries around them that have more influence on what's going around there.
Yeah, obviously, Belize doesn't have the resources to, you know, have spy satellites orbiting over the United States, unbeknownst to the U.S. government.
Right.
That's obviously not the case.
It's pretty clearly a client state.
But they don't need it. All they need is a hacker. Right? All they need is someone who's really good with computers.
They would only want to know, sir, I tend to think that there are countries out there that simply just don't have this stuff.
Maybe.
They don't have the money. They don't have the interest.
There may be, but I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't.
Okay.
Because they're all evil. They're all immoral. And when
there's nothing wrong with trying to find out information.
No, but there's everything wrong with living evil, because that's what these governments do. They are evil organizations, and persisting in worlds where they can't trust one another, and because they can't be trusted.
Prosecuting Donald Trump over Russian collusion while your government is attempting to throw every other election on the planet. Now, that's evil. I'll give you that.
Well, it's all evil. By nature, what they're doing is evil.
Governments are playing in a particular sandbox, and that sandbox says
it's filled with evil.
Well, it says that you can do this stuff, and if you're not doing it,
it's an evil sandbox.
It's a lawless sandbox. So in this lawless sandbox, you can do that.
But it's still evil. They're just spying on other governments, right? If they're spying on other governments' people, it's different. But I'm sure the United States does that.
They're probably doing that as well. And that's the issue with the sandbox, and that's the thing that makes it evil. If it was just governments around the world acting like boxers who had all agreed to step into the ring together and their consequences were only limited to beating the crap out of each other, that would be one thing. But it's not. They dragged the rest of us into that sandbox with them, and they said, you're going to bask in this evil, and you're going to be punished by it whether you like it or not.
That's because they own us.
Well, that's the part that uniquely makes it evil. It's not just governments spying on governments. It's them dragging us along with them.
Well, I'd say that mostly governments want to know what other governments are doing. But there are some governments that want to know what their people of other governments are doing.
And then you have the U.S. government that wants to know what everyone on the planet is doing.
And I would say I would include in that little set China, too.
Well, that's what they certainly like to say about China. But I don't know that it's true of China. China certainly wants to know what
the weaponize the common cold go in that set.
Okay, well, the U.S. government funded Wuhan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not saying that China...
It's a set of two.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But I'm not convinced that the Chinese government cares what people around the world are doing. I've never seen any aggression from the Chinese government that suggests that they care what the people in Russia or the United States are doing. Right. Allegedly. And even then, we don't know what the balloon was doing.
They said it was innocuous.
Even then, it was a balloon.
But who knows?
Right. But, TikTok is a great example. People are convinced that TikTok is spying on Americans on behalf of the Chinese government. Why? Why do you think they care whether I like cat videos or dog videos? I don't think the Chinese government cares about what the American people care about.
It sounds like the defense of Facebook 12 years ago. Why in the world with the government? How can they use this to socially engineer us to feel better or feel worse or vote a certain way?
Exactly why Facebook is doing it.
Okay. Well,
it's because they monetize it. They profit off of it.
All right.
So the company that owns Twitter, that owns TikTok, likely profits off of TikTok as well.
But that doesn't mean
the Chinese government is using the data gained from TikTok to spy on Americans.
The Chinese government would probably likely feel that if they could change the Americans' feelings about Taiwan, that they would do better in the upcoming conflict to regain it.
I don't think Americans are really getting news on TikTok. But the other thing that I think is important is the TikTok app doesn't just give them information about the TikTok app. Like, you give it permission for other things. I do think there's too much hysteria about China's spying on us, but I think it's more than just whether or not you like TikTok or cat videos.
Here's what my opinion is. If you don't want the Chinese government to spy on you, don't download TikTok. If you don't want the American government to spy on you, don't download Instagram or Facebook.
I don't know how to tell you this, but if the Chinese government wants to spy on you, not downloading TikTok is not going to stop it. Just like not downloading Facebook or whatever isn't going to stop the American government from spying on you. If they want to spy on you, this is literally what they do, is figure out ways to do that without your permission, without your knowledge. That's pretty much what it means to spy on people, and that's why TikTok is such a terrible platform for spying on people. The phones and the chips, the Foxconn chips in your phone that were manufactured in China are far more likely to be spying on you on behalf of the Chinese government than TikTok.
Could very well be.
I would point the finger at Foxconn long before I pointed the finger at TikTok. But the bills that the U.S. Congress is passing, the TikTok bills, it doesn't actually have anything to do with TikTok. Yeah. It's not going to do anything about all of the chips and software
in Taiwan.
I don't know, man. Maybe some of them are. Maybe some of them aren't.
I didn't think China had the manufacturing capability.
They actually have huge manufacturing capabilities. I mean, that was one of the issues that Pink Penguin had when they were trying to get resources during the COVID-19 lockdowns, is that China had stopped exporting.
Like everything else, but not microprocessors or something.
I know for sure that China has Foxconn factories, and I don't know if the actual processor, if it's just the audio chip or whatever. You know, I don't have the hardware compatibility list for my phone in front of me, and I don't know exactly where chips were produced at or where they were assembled at, and I don't think it really matters. The fact of the matter is that chips components for your phone are absolutely being produced in China. Apple factories absolutely exist in China. Foxconn factories certainly exist in China. All of these things exist in China.
If you want to watch TikTok videos, do it like an adult does and wait 2 weeks and see it on Instagram.
That's what old people probably do.
Yeah, she's got you there. Do what the old people do. Yeah.
Well,
I don't
want to
do what the old people do. So anyway, that's where I stand on all this. I think the governments are all spying on each other, and I think that if the Chinese government wants to spy on you, installing TikTok is not going to make it any easier for them. I think that TikTok is probably a terrible platform for spying on people simply because it's so open and known.
Well, it seems like it has access to your pictures, your camera, your microphone.
And you don't think the chips inside your phone have access to that?
I just think if I had to choose between giving all my information to the United States government or Chinese government, I'd probably give all my information to the Chinese government way before I would give, like, half my information to the United States government.
Why?
Because the Chinese government isn't going to grab me out of my house and be like, she had... you know, like something on her phone and put me in jail.
The U.S. government is a more identifiable threat to my life and my way of life than the Chinese government. I realize you're all anti-China, but...
I sure am.
China is not a threat to me. They're not a threat to you. The U.S. government, however... is. You haven't spent the last 5 years trying to get away from the Chinese government.
Well, I can say this. When I was on the platform in Shenzhen... Am I right on that? Shenzhen?
Right, some Chinese place. Got it.
The train platform. I refused to enter the country. I just couldn't make myself enter the country because I've talked too much crap about it on the radio.
Well, that's kind of scary.
Philosophically
yeah.
consistent, I guess, right?
I think it would be cool to go to China if there was like if there was no threat of the government putting you in a jail, but their jails are pretty scary. So.
Yep.
So I would absolutely not go to China either. I certainly would not.
If the world was, like, free, I would love to go to China. Yeah. I watched Mulan a couple weeks ago, and it made me like, I wish I could go to China. It's kind of cool looking.
Well, go to Taiwan. It's like real China.
Well, I would also... Right, that's what they say. I would also not go to North Korea, though. And that's because these places are hostile to all of the things that I care about.
I think I would... If I was invited to go to North Korea, and I suspect I will not be, I would probably go...
Really?
For a week.
That's brave.
And touch nearly nothing.
Would you go alone?
I would have to, because I wouldn't want to, subject my, my
I don't know that I would trust North Korea to let you leave.
Yeah, I would not go alone.
Mostly everybody got to leave North Korea.
I don't know. Maybe.
Who didn't?
He stole, this guy, and I can't remember his name, stole some kind of campaign poster or something, some memento off the wall.
I do think I remember that, yeah.
And North Korea killed him.
Whoa.
So documents have leaked on the internet, evidently on Discord, by the way. These are military documents, intelligence documents, and the U.S. government is upset that they managed to appear somewhere on the internet. They're always upset when their secrets get out. They were upset over what they called Cablegate as well, which was where Chelsea Manning released a bunch of, quote, diplomatic cables, which were internal communications between embassies, as I understand it. And it was a whole lot of nothing, cables, for the most part. I mean, there was bits and pieces to it, but nothing there earth-shattering. And was Cablegate Chelsea Manning? Because Chelsea Manning was also the...
I don't remember that. Yeah, I thought it was... I don't remember Cablegate, but I don't think it was Chelsea Manning.
I don't think
Chelsea
it was
Manning
either.
Was the helicopter shooting the minivan.
Yeah, and I can't remember the name of that video. Collateral Damage, I think, was what it was called. Yeah. Anyway, this new leak, of course, the government's upset about it. It appears to have come in at least part from the Pentagon and are marked as highly classified. They offer tactical information about the war in Ukraine, including the country's combat capabilities. Because, of course, they do. The United States government is heavily involved in the Ukraine conflict and is monitoring it very closely and is absolutely spying on the Ukrainian government. It
says Cablegate was WikiLeaks.
Yeah, but who gave the information to WikiLeaks?
There are people who I've never heard of. El Pais?
Okay.
Der Spiegel, yeah. Le Monde. I guess those are like hacker names.
No, Der Spiegel is a German magazine.
I've definitely never heard of these.
Well, that just
people,
says
though.
Key publishers.
Okay.
Ah, okay. Sorry. According to one defense official, many of the documents seem to have been prepared over the winter for General Mark Milley, chairman of some stupid organization, and they were available to other U.S. personnel and contract employees with the requisite security clearances. So this could have been a large number of people who potentially leaked this. Other documents include analysis from U.S. intelligence agencies about Russia and several other countries, all based on information gleaned from classified sources. The series of detailed briefs and summaries open a rare window on the inner workings of American espionage, but again, they're doing pretty much exactly the things that we would expect them to be doing. The U.S. government is engaged in spying on people. Among other secrets, they appear to reveal where the CIA has recruited human agents who are listening to the closed-door conversations of world leaders. Eavesdropping that shows a Russian mercenary outfit tried to acquire weapons from a NATO ally to use against Ukraine. And I think that is priceless, right? The Russians are trying to acquire weapons from NATO to use against Ukraine, and it's probably not even that hard for them to do because the United States government will sell weapons to just about anyone.
Both sides.
Well, the bigger NATO gets, the more cracks are going to show in the armor. So
I don't know how much bigger it could possibly get.
It could encompass the whole world.
I guess it pretty much does.
Which would be
a
good thing, by the way, because then
why would that be a good thing? Why in the world would a one world government be a good thing?
NATO isn't a world government.
Okay. I would say for everyone in NATO over, you know, the amount of people we have in NATO only now, because like they explained it on the radio the other day. I just heard it from upstairs. Basically, NATO countries don't attack each other.
I guess that's true.
To my knowledge, have never attacked each other.
This probably wouldn't happen because why would they all join the alliance?
Why would they let them? Because at this point, NATO is a unit. It requires unanimity. I know I didn't say that right. Unanimity.
I could say it right up until I needed to say it 12 seconds ago.
Until I said it, messed it up, right?
And then I lost unanimity.
And then a bunch of Southerners trying to say unanimity.
They have to be unanimous.
There's no, right, so, you know, a nation like Turkey is keeping Sweden out of NATO at this point.
Right.
In order to get concessions for completely unrelated things.
Right, because it's a game of politics.
It's because it's a game of politics, so the idea
that
everybody
gets in. And this is why you want them to have a monopoly over the entire globe?
Is unlikely. It would be better that they had some kind of, 75% of nations need to accept you. It was something besides unanimity in this circumstance.
I don't see how it would be an improvement to have more countries in NATO, even if it was the entire world. That to me suggests that there's just nothing there to counterbalance NATO. And, I mean, there already sort of is, but at least China and Russia try to counterbalance the evil monster that is NATO.
When I watch the science fiction shows and the aliens decide to attack Earth, there's always comes together, all the nations come together in order to stand against the aliens.
Right.
This
so you
is
want
what
an
I
alien invasion?
With NATO is that, you know, they just, look, there's something else out there.
Well, there probably is.
Well, we know that the government's probably going to, we don't know, but we can assume the government's going to come out with a fake alien invasion in order to do something. If they want the whole world to join NATO, that might be what they do. You know, Operation Bluebeam.
And NATO, fundamentally, if NATO remains as it is today, it will be involved in the catastrophic event that destroys human life.
Yeah. This is why I would like it to cease to exist.
But it's not going to, any more than my goal of having it across the... My goal is the same as yours. It's just different ways to get there.
It should have ceased to exist long ago.
Even if just China and Russia were invited to join, might be a little better.
France wants to invite Russia.
Hmm.
Well, Russia wanted to join once upon a time.
Well, the Soviet Union did apply the first year of NATO in the 60s, I think. I
tend to think they were trolling, though. And they knew they... I mean, the whole point of NATO...
It was intrigue, yeah.
That NATO existed to fight the USSR.
And then in 2002 or whatever, when Putin floated the idea, there wasn't an application put in. They basically responded to the idea that Putin put out there by saying Russia can apply for NATO membership like anybody else.
But Russia didn't do that.
Because
they're not going to be accepted. Because we know they wouldn't be accepted.
How many countries are in there right now?
I don't know. 70 or 80.
No, not nearly that many.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I think it's closer to 30.
I thought it included a bunch of little tiny nations like
I don't know why.
Columbia or whatever.
I also
no,
thought
not that
70.
Down that far.
Okay.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It hasn't moved much out of Europe.
Okay. But let's go to the phones. We do have callers on the line, 603-283-6160. If you want to join us, we have Bad Slave on the line from here in New Hampshire. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you. I just wanted to let you know, the gentleman that, China didn't quite kill, but, sent, back to America was, a guy called Warmbier.
You mean North Korea?
I'm sorry, yes. North Korea, not
okay.
China.
Warmbier?
Was it?
Warmbier.
Is that like a rapper name or something? Warmbier?
No. Warmbier was the name of this family, and they
sent
him
back. Last name.
Yeah.
Oh God.
His last name. I can't remember his first name. And
Mr. Warmbier.
And the truth by his statement was that he had nothing to do with the poster.
Right. That's what I'd say, too. His name was Warmbier, age 22, Cincinnati, Ohio.
How do you spell that?
Like you'd spell Warmbier, honestly.
Oh, my gosh.
Warmbier.
Well, that's beer in German, so it's
right.
Warmbier.
Warmbier. Now, I don't know what Warmbier means in German.
I wonder if Warm is warm.
I wouldn't doubt it. Drink their beer... room temperature.
Thank you for the call tonight, Bad Slave, and thank you for the information. I certainly didn't know that this had happened. I hadn't heard anything about North Korea. And, I mean, they don't tend to make the news a lot. I do find it super interesting.
It was in 2017. So it's been something.
Okay. Yeah.
That was in 2017?
Yeah.
Wow.
I do like that Bad Slave, slipped there and said China when he meant North Korea, because back when I reviewed video games for this website called Cube 3, there was this video game that I had to review. I don't remember what the name of it is right now, but the whole basis of the plot was that North Korea invaded and conquered the United States.
Uh-huh.
That was the whole plot, right? And it was so obvious from the moment that you started up the game. I don't know what that means, but it was so obvious that it was that they kept saying North Korea, but what they really meant was the Chinese.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't say that because they didn't want to make the Chinese government angry by releasing this game where the Chinese government invaded the United States. And the whole point of the plot was to, liberate the United States from the terrible game. Something, Homefront Revolution is an absolutely terrible game. Would not recommend it anymore. But it was interesting for that reason alone. It created a plot that you don't hear about often, which is just this little tiny government called North Korea invading the United States, because I was like, all right, well, that sounds interesting. And then it turns out it's just a stand-in for China, and it was significantly less interesting than that point. It was just more of the same sort of Red Dawn propaganda that you would expect from
That's Wolverines is from, Red Dawn.
That sort of military propaganda. 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in, you can talk about this information leak and whether or not you're surprised. And what do you think about TikTok? Do you think it's spying on you? 603-283-6160. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We'll be right back. USA News update. An expelled Tennessee lawmaker has been reappointed. Democrat Justin Jones was one of two African Americans kicked out of the Tennessee House last week for protesting gun violence on the House floor after a deadly school shooting at a private Christian school. Today, the Nashville City Council voted unanimously to reinstate him. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear got emotional during a briefing today after learning one of his closest friends was one of the people killed in a Louisville bank shooting this morning.
Tommy Elliott helped me build my law career. Helped me become governor. Gave me advice on being a good dad.
Four people, plus the gunman, a 23-year-old former bank employee, were killed, nine others injured. Consumers expect to see inflation heat up in the coming months. A new survey by the New York Federal Reserve shows consumers expect prices to increase another 0.5% in the year ahead. It marks the first time the short-term outlook increased since October. John Schaefer, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Live, as always, you're invited to text the airwaves, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to do that. Again, the number 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Bonnie.
And Mark.
And we did have people asking earlier on video.freetalklive. That is our Odyssey channel. We can actually accept your support there. They have a new subscription model. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but go there and, you know, use your high school education, put it to use, and figure out how to give us money over at video.freetalklive.com. And there we actually monitor the chat as much as we can while doing a radio show. If someone asked the question, where is my top? And, well, if you're not watching at video.freetalklive.com, you may not know what they're talking about, but in actuality, this is a top.
Yes.
And there is a, I assume they think it's a bra.
Midriff top. Yeah, but I could see how one could misinterpret it.
I assumed it was a bra.
But it is actually, I would not wear a bra in public.
I think it's a top. Pretty
it's
one,
the
though.
Size of a bra, no problem.
Right. There is a fundamental difference between the two things, right?
It's one of those, I don't know. I don't know what else I'd call it. There's another word I'd call it, but
I prefer tube tops. And for whatever reason, no one makes that mistake with tube tops, even though
yeah.
There's less material in the tube tops that I wear, right?
I wasn't saying it was, I thought you shouldn't be wearing
right.
it. I just thought it was a bra and you were wearing it, but I like it.
You certainly didn't seem to suggest that, right?
I didn't think it was a bra. I thought it was a top.
Yeah, well, it is. So to the person watching at video.freetalklive.com, it is actually a top. And you know,
it sure looks like a bra, though, now that you say
it. That's because it has the straps. If it didn't have the straps, no one would think anything about that. No one would make that mistake. That's why I'm going. I don't think I have a white tube top, though. And that's why I ended up with this instead, because it matches the skirt, which matches the hair a little bit better. So it's just, you know. Anyway, so that's what happened there.
So you spent some time on this outfit.
I tend to spend time on stuff. Like, where was it? I was at somewhere recently, and she remarked about how my shirt matched my eyeshadow, which matched my hair. I was like, yes, this is all intentional. You know this, right? And she's like, oh, yeah, I guess. Do you think I just accidentally put this together? No.
That would be a weird thing for another woman to say. I don't know why.
It was all very weird, yeah. And I can't remember who it was, but it was... It was peculiar that it was even brought to my attention anyway as something.
Did you know?
Accident. Yeah.
Those things match.
Wow. Did you know your eyeshadow matches your hair? What? Who would have thought? So anyway, video.freetalklive.com. We are viewer supported at this time. Actually, Mark and Ian and I were discussing that earlier today. We are viewer supported. If you want to support the show, video.freetalklive.com. It does have some sort of subscription thing there. I don't know. I haven't looked into it because I'm not allowed to use Odyssey in that capacity because it's built on blockchain and I'm not allowed to interact with cryptocurrency like that. So I don't spend a lot of time there for obvious reasons. But video.freetalklive.com, you can support the show there. Actually, they have a dollar method of supporting the show as well. I do know that much.
Okay.
And I don't think you can actually support the show on Odyssey using library credits. It's all very confusing, and it has to do with the SEC and some garbage that they were doing last year and the year before. But Odyssey is its own distinct thing, and you can support the show with actual dollars over at video.freetalklive.com. That's our Odyssey channel. And there, we don't have to worry about being censored. We don't have to worry about having our channel deleted just like we do on YouTube. Something else we were discussing earlier today was the possibility of, you know, expanding our YouTube options for the show. And, well, then we remembered what Ian pointed out to us, that, you know, we're actually currently not on YouTube because we are facing two strikes at the moment. And for those who don't know, YouTube strikes are unappealable for the most part. Technically, you can click the button to appeal them, and you can write a statement about why you disagree, but it's a complete waste of time.
But they don't tell you what you did wrong.
No, and our shows are 3 hours long, and
right.
We get flagged for medical misinformation somehow still 2 years after the pandemic, quote, was ended or whatever.
After all the conspiracy theories have been proven correct.
Right.
We're still getting...
destroying itself. Like, most of the people I watch on video form nowadays are on Odyssey.
Yeah, I have just about completely stopped using YouTube.
And
as well.
I'm like a big video watching person. I like that way more than like watching an actual movie. I'd rather just like entertain myself for hours with like way more entertaining original stuff. And it used to always be YouTube. And recently I just like don't even check my subscription box. I just go to Odyssey.
I like the fact that Twitch allows me to export my live streams directly to YouTube. I do like that. However, I would like it more if Twitch allowed me to do that with Odyssey. But they don't. So anyway, we're on two strikes with YouTube, which means if we get a third strike, our channel will be deleted. And all of that content, 10 years worth of content, or however long it is,
poof,
deleted, gone, forever.
When is the time that it ends? When is the time that our strike goes away?
We have a strike coming off in May. Hmm. And around then, we can start streaming again, and I'm sure we will start streaming to YouTube again. And then
until we get a strike.
Until we get a strike.
We have to pull ourselves off so we don't get the third strike and lose all the content.
Right. We are perpetually between one and two strikes on YouTube. And that's because the first strike takes, I think, 6 months to come off. And in that 6 month period, we are almost guaranteed, just because we say stuff that the government doesn't like, we are guaranteed to get a second strike. And it doesn't matter what it is. We're going to get one.
Yeah.
So we don't stream there very often. So screw YouTube. Join us on Odyssey, video.freetalklive.com. There's a bunch of disaffected YouTubers there, like the guy who created videos about the Uyghur genocide that's happening in China, which, for those who don't know, the Chinese government is committing an actual holocaust against the Uyghur Muslims in China. And he makes videos about the topic. And in order to give credibility to things he says, he has people, former Chinese residents, show their actual state IDs to prove, hey, look, I'm actually a Chinese resident. I was actually there. Look at my name, Muhammad Chinese person here. I was one of these people. This actually happened to me. And they got banned from YouTube, or they got a strike or whatever, for showing people's IDs, for these people showing their own IDs, to give credibility to the claims they were making. So obviously, this person took their content to Odyssey, where they don't have to worry about this sort of thing. So you might consider that as well if you do anything. And it doesn't matter if you're not saying anything right now that the government doesn't like. Look, if you have your video game channel and that's all you ever do, you're probably fine. YouTube's probably not going to ever pay any attention to you because you're just doing gaming streams and you're non-controversial. They don't care what you do. But if you have any opinion on anything, it's not safe on YouTube.
I've noticed YouTubers can't even cuss anymore. Like, it used to be totally okay for YouTubers to cuss, and now they have to censor themselves like a beep noise. It's crazy. Like, you
do they have to do that, or are they doing that because they want to be able to reach children? Because I've noticed this as well.
It's like shoe on head. I don't think it's wanting to reach children, you know?
I think it's
And I've heard them mention, like, oh, I can't say that, something I can't say on YouTube anymore type of thing.
We go out of our way when we're on, when we're not beholden to the FCC, when we're doing Free Your Talk Live or some other internet-only after show, we go out of our way to swear.
It's the monetization. You can cuss on YouTube.
Oh, that's exactly
but
it, right.
You'll be moved into a different classification of monetization, and you won't get the pizza crusts and the, cheese people.
You're right.
And
now that you
stuff.
Said that, that's exactly what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I've heard that. No, I love it.
Because the guy I watch on YouTube, he's a video game streamer called Ryokar, and he's really good at video games, and I learned a lot about how to play video games better by watching him. But I did notice that, like, 2 years ago, I don't watch his live streams, but I did notice that he used to swear a lot in his videos. But then he sort of stopped doing that. And I was always curious why, and obviously the monetization is an obvious reason for it. Another thing I noticed is that the number of donations he gets, because I don't watch him live, but he does upload his streams to YouTube, and I see them at the fact. The number of live stream donations that he gets and super chats and all that crap, it's way down from where it was 2 years ago. And I don't know if that was a bump during the pandemic or if it's just economic hardships now. I don't know what the cause of that is. But I know previously, every 2 or 3 minutes, he would get some $5 donation or $7 super chat or whatever, and now I've seen him go entire streams without getting anything. So
I've heard that's true of, like, everyone getting less viewer support.
I suspect it is. Like, I have a restaurant job that I work at 6 days a week, and from my experience, fewer people are ordering food. The amounts are up, like, dollar sales-wise, yeah. And we talk about it, wow, we beat, 2 years ago by $2,000 or whatever. It's like, yeah, but the reality of this is that that's because prices have gone up. You know, we're no longer selling a large burger and fries for $9. Now it's $14.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we did $2,000 more worth of business, but our prices have increased by 50% or whatever. So we've actually taken some sort of, like, 20% loss or whatever. You can't do the math off the top of my head. But
sure.
The math, when it comes to those kind of percentages, gets really complicated anyway. Because, yeah. Like, 35%.
You're not an economist, but it's, I get what you're saying, is the dollar's devalued.
Yeah, and that's obvious to people. When they go out shopping and you get a bag of chips for $1.79 and you're eating it and it's got less chips than a bag that cost 99 cents did 5 years ago, people know it and they feel robbed.
Yeah.
And because of that and other things, they have fewer money to spend on entertainment, on luxuries. And that's why all of these streamers and stuff are getting less money than ever, because people just have less.
Yeah.
60-something percent of Americans are now living paycheck to paycheck, and that number's not going to get any better.
I don't know if that was that much different at the time. It's just that
It has gone up a few percentage points. I don't remember
how
much.
A couple of percent. I'd be willing to concede that. I don't know. I haven't taken a look. But when generally the public has more money and they spend to their paycheck.
Yeah.
And the YouTubers are getting more money, then when they have less money, they still spend to their paycheck, then the YouTubers get less money. So they're still, the public's still spending all of its money because people have
enough.
No discipline when it comes to taking care of their own finances.
Well, I don't know if that's a fair argument, fair thing to say anymore.
I always tell Ian, like, when I get FRNs, I'm like, I gotta go spend them because I will get something better now than if I wait.
which is also true. But when your money is being devalued like this, as Bonnie points out, it rightly encourages you to spend that money instead of holding on to it. But
Aroma Jill is a new out in town. I got to spend my FRNs there.
There are certainly people
money
like
money market getting 4.75 right now. I mean, it's basically a checking account that you can take your money out of at any point you want. 4.75 is unheard of.
If you're not living paycheck to paycheck already. Right, but there are plenty of Americans who already are.
That's
right.
The discipline thing we're talking about.
Well, some of them are born into that situation. They can't dig themselves out that easily. But then there are, look, and I'm not making excuses for these people. I'm thinking about people like my sister, my family in the South, who live exactly this mindset, perpetually broke.
The mindset.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it doesn't matter if she made $50,000 a month. She would find a way to be broke.
Yep.
But that's not true of everyone. I don't think that's true of the 66% of people who are now living paycheck to paycheck. I think it's probably true of a fair portion of them. But I don't think it's just a mindset thing at this point. I think too many people are broke that it speaks to a larger issue than just discipline.
I would agree with you that the system isn't set up for people to move easily through it. But I would say this, that America's still, you know, it still has the American dream in so much as if you practice thrift, it is a superpower in an inflationary economy. If you hold on to your money and just don't spend it, try to put it away, find better ways to get interest, you know, these kind of things. It's not that difficult. I mean, it can be done. I went from paycheck to paying off my house in 4 years.
How much of that was Bitcoin, though? Because that's not fair.
All before Bitcoin.
Okay, see, that's not fair, though.
All before Bitcoin.
Oh, before. Okay. I thought you said all for Bitcoin. Okay.
No, all before Bitcoin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
I did it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't do
it. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Then wife did it. But
it's probably not easy, and it's probably, I would suggest, it's probably beyond the means of the average person.
People don't have, like, the willpower. But, I mean, like, I know I don't, because, like, when I was single, I just was like, I could save my money, I could be like doing, you know, whatever, but what is the point of living? Like, I have no reason to live if I don't go sing karaoke sometimes,
right?
And that causes me to spend money on at the bar.
It's like the alternative is to pay all your bills, right, and then take that 30% or whatever that's left and invest it. And yes, that's a great idea. But then you're just sitting at home watching Netflix each night, and you're wasting your life going to work for 40 hours a week and then spending the rest of it watching Netflix. That's not a life.
I think you have to weigh it.
Yes, there has to be a balance, absolutely.
And I understand that point. And certainly there's got to be a place for entertainment. Now, there are those who do not. They just go ahead and put it all away, and then at 30... they could essentially retire.
But see, there's also
amazing.
There's plenty of free ways of entertainment as well, right? I'm going to go home after the show tonight, and I'm going to play a video game probably. And if I'm not playing a video game, I'm going to play the guitar. And both of these things, sure, they cost some amount of electricity. I don't know, maybe a dollar's worth of electricity or whatever. And the guitar might make some noise, and I might bother some people, but I don't care, screw them. But all of these things, they're not costing me any money. It's not like going out to a bar and spending $60 tonight,
right,
or going to see a movie or going to see a live concert. And I'm not going to be any less entertained by going home tonight and playing the guitar than I would be if I went to see Butcher Babies perform. I do have tickets to go see Butcher Babies because they're on tour again with Mudvayne and Guar. Guar, I've never seen. It's like the concert that was made for my best friend and I. His favorite band is Guar, mine is Butcher Babies, and they're on tour together. So, of course, we're going, right? So I do still want to do that, but I know that going to see Butcher Babies is not any better form of entertainment necessarily than playing the guitar.
You're either entertained or you're not.
Exactly.
It's not just entertainment that I'm talking about. It's just like enriching your life, changing things in your life in general is not going to happen if you just go to work every day and save all your money. Like, I went basically broke to come up to do Yao, and what if I hadn't done that? I wouldn't have met Ian, and my whole life wouldn't be totally different, you know?
I think that you have to, like, experiences are worth something, and they're worth a great deal.
Certainly, that's why I'm going to see Butcher Babies.
Have you seen them before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I would go see them today if they were playing.
And you know, I think that doing things a second time probably less valuable than doing them the first time, but
I'm doing something similar but different. I've never seen Mudbang before. I've never seen Gwar before, and I don't remember who the other band is. Nonpoint, some 90s alternative rock band. I don't care. New rock. They weren't exactly new metal, but they were new rock, and I don't care about them because they sucked and only had like one song that anyone cared about, and then they faded away because they're Nonpoint and they suck. But I've never seen them, so that will be a new experience. And I've never gone to this exact place to see the Butcher Babies. So, but even if it was, the Butcher Babies playing exactly the same songs that they played when I saw them last year in exactly the same venue, I still think the experience would have something in it that's fundamentally different than it was a year ago.
And I think that that's what you have to do. You have to weigh it out. You have to look at your budget, and you have to see what is worth doing and what's not worth doing. And I don't... You know, no one's ever going to get me to say, yep, I think it's a good idea to spend all your savings. I think it's
that's a terrible idea.
Put 20% away and just keep putting 20% away.
Another thing about having no savings is your mindset. Like, I always just believed that everything was going to work out, and then it just always did.
Yeah, mindset is important. Positive affirmation, these sorts of things. Certainly helpful.
All the people on welfare, all the things have worked out for them, too.
I never went on welfare.
I'm just saying that it has.
Yeah, yes, but they are perpetually stressed, right? And that's, they may not have starved to death and they may not have lost their homes, but they have dealt with a large number of stressful factors that I would say are not working out. Like, again, I think about my sister who just today, she was asking me for money. I was like, look, I'm being sentenced in 2 weeks and a day, right? And I may go to prison for 37 months, and I've got that going on, and you're hitting me up because you can't pay your rent. I'm really confused about what part of this.
Who should be giving whom money here?
Well, I don't want money from her, but I'm confused
attention.
About what aspect of this she thinks makes it okay. Right.
Yes.
And
I just don't want to bother someone, you know.
Exactly this. I've got bigger things. I love you to death, but I've got bigger things right now to deal with than this. This particular example of idiocy.
Okay, I'll amend my statement. If your life is working for you by spending all of your money, then by all means, spend all of your money. If your life is not working for you right now, and you're not as happy as you could be, it's likely discipline around money.
I would agree with that entirely, because I've seen her order DoorDash for 2-liter drinks because she didn't want to drive a quarter mile to the store and go get them.
I suspect that's, therein lies some of the rub.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely, right? And I've done DoorDash too, right? Especially
I have never done it.
I have.
Never in my life.
Like ordered it or Uber Eats or anything?
Nope. Never done it.
It can be convenient. It depends on what you've got going on, right?
The only time I ever have is if I was drinking and then you just want it to come to you.
Well,
you could drive.
If you're drinking, you shouldn't be on the road, and I would support it, but other than that...
Well, it has its place. Right? Like sometimes I don't have time to go get lunch and eat it before I have to be at work or whatever.
Okay.
Now, that's different because, I'm not going broke by buying DoorDash.
In my case, you just look at me and see I could skip a meal.
Well, I haven't eaten yet today because I just haven't thought about it. I've been doing other stuff, right? And it's amazing how often that can happen. If you stay busy, it's amazing how much less you eat.
I plan my days around what I eat, so it just wouldn't happen to me. I wake up and I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat.
Oh, what am I going to do? Well, I'm not going to work.
I was so terrified when I quit smoking because I've always heard that, if you quit smoking, you're going to supplement that with eating instead. And
yeah,
I
started putting on weight.
I used to eat breakfast, right, every single day, and then I started smoking. And back when I was little Aria running around, I started smoking, stopped eating breakfast immediately, and I was like, well, I'm going to put on some weight then. And I did put on a little bit of weight, but not enough to matter. But I was sure that I was going to wake up, and my first thought was going to be, all right, I'm hungry now. But for whatever reason, that didn't come back. So I've been fortunate in that regard. But I sort of envy, I envy you especially because you're so much skinnier than I am. But I envy your ability to wake up and have that drive to sustain your own existence.
Do you drink coffee? Because that's 90% of what I think about when I wake up.
I don't drink coffee. I usually do consume some amount of caffeine within the first few hours, but even that isn't one of my priorities anymore when I wake up. It used to be. Used to wake up, first thing you got to do is smoke a cigarette, obviously. or someone's going to die. And then it's caffeine. Usually I could, because I knew I was going to need a cigarette the next day, and I knew I was going to need caffeine the next day, so I would wake up and I would have cigarettes and a Monster. But there's nothing worse than being a smoker and waking up without a cigarette and having to go to a store and buy cigarettes before you start smoking that first one. I know other people who are like, you know, I don't smoke a cigarette for the first half hour when I wake up. And I'm like, well, screw you. The very first thing I do is find a cigarette to smoke. I will smoke cigarette butts out of my ashtray if I don't have any, instead of just going to the store and getting one, because it's like that important to my existence. You were the reason that I quit smoking, sort of. I had to get surgery, but you were the one who recommended Chantix.
You took Chantix to quit?
Yes.
In this day and age, all right.
Yes, and otherwise I don't believe I would have succeeded if it hadn't been for Chantix. And it was very difficult to get. The prescription itself was easy to get. Yeah. Right? Doctors had no hesitation about prescribing it, but finding it was extremely difficult because it's been recalled and they're no longer producing it. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't hear about that.
I don't remember what the point of the recall was.
Got to be bad dreams.
I think it was something worse than that, really. But it's a terrible drug, right? It's absolutely destructive to you. But it got me to quit smoking. And now, when I was in Vegas recently, I was a little bit concerned because I hadn't been around that number of people who smoke cigarettes in probably a year, because I live in New Hampshire now, and there are smokers here, but like, not like you'll find at a casino in Vegas at 2 o'clock in the morning.
That was one thing I loved about casinos in Nevada was just, you get to smoke indoors here. I would always go by, I forget what they're called, but they're the little skinny, not Virginia Slims, but they're like that.
Capris.
They're Capris, yes. I would go by Capris and smoke them while I was doing my little slots. I would only lose $40 and then quit. And I love smoking inside. I mean, I don't smoke anymore, so there's that, but
I was really shocked by how much worse the odds were than they were when I worked as a slot tech in a casino previously. Because I knew the odds were bad. But it's very much been corporatized, the casinos have. And it's obvious that they've been corporatized. Hmm. Like previously, you could walk into any slot machine and put in a $5 bill, press a few buttons, and get a drink brought to you. And no one would ask any question. You tip the server and you're good to go, right? But now, no, if you are playing on less than $20, you're not qualified for a free drink, regardless. And if you are qualified for a free drink because you're spending $100 or $20 or $50 or whatever, it only qualifies you for certain drinks. Like previously, 15 years ago, when I don't know how long ago it was I worked at a casino, but when I went to a casino 15 years ago, you could get off work, go down there with $20 and gamble for 3 hours and have five drinks and everything is fine and order my Long Island iced teas and get them brought to me and everything's good. But now, no, you're getting a well drink and there's no further benefits. It's all very corporate and it's not fun. It's very sterile and uninteresting.
Just they weren't making enough money.
But they probably were, but you know how short-sighted corporations are, right? And so now I feel like they're shaving off the layers of their skin in order to have more skin.
Sure.
603-283-6160. There is more coming up here, including why the FBI thinks you're woke.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.